welcome to another one of my podcasts, and thank you for tuning in. Today I'm going to tackle the topic around digital transformation within organisations. And for me, digital transformation isn't actually about digital, and I will share my reasons why I believe this to be the case. You know, at the moment, everything that's we see is prefixed with digital this, something's being disrupted with the prefix of digital, and this is all born out of the fourth industrial revolution which we now live in. But whether you're a large or small business, what does this even actually mean? So I thought, you know, let's try and break it down a bit in terms of the phrase digital transformation, and first of all, what do we actually mean by digital? Because I do feel it's become a broad brushstroke to catch them all, to coin the Pokemon phrase. And in the English dictionary, if you look up the word digital, it comes up with adjective. Number one, of signals or data expressed as a series of digits 0 and 1, typically represented by values of a physical quantity such as voltaic or magnetic polarization, relating to using or storing data or information in the form of digital signals, e.g. digital TV. Involving or relating to the use of computer technology, the digital revolution. Number two, of a clock or watch, showing the time by means of displayed digits rather than hands or a pointer. Or number three, actually relating to finger or fingers. And the origin of digital is from the Latin digitus, which means finger or toe, which then moved to digitalis, and then the late 15th century, that's where we started first seeing the word digital. But that was referring to pointing your fingers or your toes. So for me, I think probably the best fit here for when we prefix the word transformation with digital is probably the 1.1, involving or relating to the use of computer technology. I doubt that most organizations or CEOs are thinking that their businesses will be reduced to a series of zeros and ones. Maybe they do, and you know, some roles are being replaced by technology, and that is, I guess, true digital transformation, where the role no longer is run by or done by a human. It is done by technology, which ultimately is just a software program, which is, you know, run around zeros and ones. I also think that it's ironic that it is derived from the Latin for finger, which is originally, when I did this blog, when I typed it up, you're using your fingers to type up. Now we're looking at the world of voice and the fact that I'm talking to you through a podcast. You know, who knows, maybe the next iteration of this will be vocal transformation as voice starts to take hold. And voice is an interesting one anyway, because you're seeing now more dictating of emails, dictating of CRM updates, dictating of messages. You can now dictate your message in LinkedIn. And whilst, yes, dictation and dictation technology has been around for years, you know, for decades, in terms of, you know, the legal sector, for example, dictating emails, that is nothing new. But now it's becoming more and more prevalent just in the day-to-day business as usual. So if we look at the term digital transformation as a whole, and if we consider kind of the Google search trends, and Google search trends is really useful, by the way. If you've never used it, just Google, the irony, Google trends, and then you will actually be able to search how words or phrases are trending over any particular time span to see whether they're, you know, uptick or downtick in terms of what are people actually looking for. So I did this for the phrase digital transformation from interest over time from January 2004, which is when Google starts its trending, all the way through to the current date. And if you look pretty much along the axis, it's flat. It's very limited in terms of Google scores. This is 1 to 100, 100 being peak and 0 being not, and it's probably, you know, hovering around a 10 or a 5 all the way through to, I'm going to make a guess, probably middle to late part of 2016. And then all the way through 2017 through to where we are today, it's now peaking at 100, at a steady uptick rate. So it is very much top of mind for the world, and this is global trends, in terms of search terms. You know, digital transformation is what the world is searching for, and Google is proving that. So if we now look at the word transformation and go back to the same English dictionary that I used, we've got a number of meanings here. So noun, transformation, plural noun, transformations. Number one, a marked change in form, nature, or appearance. Synonyms, change, alteration, modification, variation, conversion, revision, amendment, metamorphosis, transfiguration, evolution, mutation, sea change, and so on. Antonyms, preservation, conservation. A sudden dramatic change of scenery on stage. Noun, transformation scene. Plural noun, transformation scenes. Metamorphosis during the life cycle of an animal. And if anybody see me present, they will see me talk about this through the visual I use of a caterpillar turning into ultimately a digital butterfly. Physics, the induced or spontaneous change of one element into another by a nuclear process. Number two, mathematics or logic, a process by which one figure, expression or function is converted into another one of similar value. Number three, linguistics, a process by which an element in the underlying logical deep structure of a sentence is converted to an element in the surface structure. And number four, biology, the genetic alteration of a cell by introduction of extraneous DNA, especially by a plasmid, the heritable modification of a cell from its normal state to a malignant state. The origin was from Latin transformare, which kind of moved into what they refer to as Old French, but transformatio, transform, and then transformation appeared in late Middle English. That's where it's come from. So I'm going to run with a marked change in for nature or appearance. And if we just take the example of the butterfly I use, if you visualize. So if you've seen me present, you've seen this. If you haven't, kind of visualize a caterpillar or that turns into a chrysalis, which then turns into a butterfly. That is a fundamental transformation. It's completely and utterly changed the way that it is in its entirety. So let's kind of stick with that. So a marked change in for nature and appearance. Therefore, if we look at digital transformation in terms of the phrase together, we are looking at technology. In my view, all that encompasses, and a marked change in something. And I think that we can all agree that this is typically what we mean when we say our company or industry is going through a digital transformation. Technology absolutely will be part of this. A process or processes will be part of this. And then, of course, we can't forget the finally people. And this for me is where we get lost in the rhetoric and the hype, is that we focus on the technology aspect of it. We don't actually focus on the people. And digital transformation cannot succeed. Well, any transformation, let's actually stop putting the word digital. Transformation, change within an organization, change within a process, cannot succeed unless you bring your people along with you. It doesn't actually matter what business function you sit in. It could be board level business functions. Have to understand the why and then the how. And then you've got to be able to articulate it coherently to the business. And I would suggest that in most organizations, because they have an amazing defense mechanism, an immune system, if you will, to change, and the whole will try and fight it and push it away. So you've got to go as far as you probably got to sell this idea of transformation or change in. And technology is merely the enabler of what we do. Technology just enables us to do things better, more effective, faster, whatever it might be. But ultimately, you as the human have got to understand the why and the how in order to get the best out of the technology in the first place to do it. And if we take this into consideration through sales and marketing, although this does apply to all functions within an organization, HR, finance, legal, operations, doesn't really matter, but let's focus on sales and marketing for today. This is about building the digital tools augmented by social into their day-to-day behavior. And I'll come back to what I mean by social, but just for a moment, we're not talking about creating social media influencers, but it's how to use social as a channel to drive better inbound sales opportunities. And digital is the enabler to prove the ROI, or sometimes I refer to it as return on opportunity, on your marketing spend, and this is most likely going to be done through through CRM. So let's just pause there. This is about, you know, in terms of what sales and marketing ultimately are all about, this is driving inbound, this is starting business conversations through whatever channel you choose to see fit. It is likely going to be social. It's going to be probably one of the most prevalent ones that if you're not using, you will be using. Phone, email, events, face-to-face meetings, of course, all absolutely pertinent and relevant during the entire sales process. But more and more of these are becoming more effective. They are becoming digital in the sense that, yes, technology is becoming part of that. In some cases, yes, that is actually turning something, you know, analog into zeros and ones, and this is all going to be focused around, built around, at the moment, CRM. But if you look at where Microsoft is going, if you look at where other CRM providers are going, they're looking to build actually entire ecosystems, of which CRM is just a part of, and that you can reside in that ecosystem and find whatever information that you want. But you have to build everything around the why and the how, and focus on the output data that is created and why this is critical. And I think that's for, that's where, you know, again, organizations fail, and why things like CRM change projects or CRM transformation projects or any technology transformation project or even digital transformation, if we're gonna, you know, go back to the subject in hand, fail, because we don't necessarily focus on the output. We focus on the input, and input drives poor behavior. Or if we don't understand why we're doing it, then it's kind of, what's in it for me? Why do I have to input this data? You're just going to use it to beat me up in terms of sales forecasts or marketing reports or whatever it might be. So if we want to consider the why, you know, staying with sales and marketing, some of the things to consider: why this is critical for the modern marketer and modern seller, why this is where your audience now resides, why this is how your target audience expects to be communicated, why social has to be embedded into the culture of your organization, both internally also externally, why you and your board need to lead from the front in all of this, why LinkedIn, in Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, I can go on, are all digital sales tools, digital marketing tools, digital recruitment tools that enable you and your business to leverage the channel that is social. And then you have to answer, and here is the how. So we've talked about the why, and then you have to answer the how. And if any of you are familiar with the film Zoolander and the scene where they parody Space Odyssey 2001, where they're trying to get the files out of the computer and end up sort of, you know, they kind of turn into monkeys, as it were, and beat the computer up because they don't understand the why or the, they don't understand the why or the how. But it'd be, whilst amusing, it's depressing, scary, I don't know, how many organizations still don't understand the how of the how social and digital will enable them to do things better, more effectively. And if I roll back the years to when I was in my first sales job, it's almost 20 years ago now, you know, I was making 100 cold calls a day in recruitment. I've been there, I've done it, I was doing 100 cold calls. That's all. That's the only channel, that's the only tool I had in order to start conversations with people. But what outcome was I trying to achieve? Getting that first sales meeting to pitch to work to hire sales professionals in the TMT sector, technology, media, telecommunications sector. So what, you know, what was the output? Let's focus on the output here. 20 years ago, pre-social, pre-LinkedIn, all I had was a phone, basic excuse for CRM, basic excuse for a computer. Just get on the phone, smile and dial, get some meetings to start a sales conversation. Fast forward to today, what am I still trying to do? I'm still trying to get that first meeting with, you know, with you to pitch what value I'll bring you and your business around how social and digital will transform how you generate business. So nothing has fundamentally changed in that aspect in terms of the output, in terms of what am I trying to do? I'm trying to get that first sales meeting. I'm trying to get that first pitch opportunity. I'm trying to get in front of you. I'm trying to have a face-to-face conversation with you. That has not changed in the 20, 30, 40 years that, you know, sales has been around, because sales is still, for the large part, you know, people by people. It's a face-to-face, video-to-video, if you will, environment. What has changed is how we buy. Therefore, what I've fundamentally changed in my thought process and behavior is around lead generation. And my lead generation now focuses on actually putting content out, is engaging with organizations, engaging with individuals, engaging with people, I should say, through social to start to drive that conversation online to then turn that conversation into a physical face-to-face or phone-to-phone conversation, which then goes into a face-to-face meeting. So what has changed is ultimately my lead generation processes. You know, we don't do any email marketing, we don't do any proactive outbound cold calling. Of course I make telephone calls. So it's a ridiculous thing in terms of the debate which is still going on about cold calling versus social selling. It's just dull. Of course I make telephone calls, of course I speak to people, but what I don't do is I don't cold call and I don't cold email, because for me personally it doesn't work. I'm still trying to create the same output, which is get that first sales meeting. But as I said, what has fundamentally changed, transformed, is my thought process as how I go around building that lead generation into social using digital tools. So if we look at this, what's changed? The human behavior, the human thought process. I changed my thinking, one could argue biologically, chemically within the brain, as to how I go doing this. And if I look back through my career, there have been times where I've been growing frustrated with management or people I've managed, inwardly thinking to myself, why do you just not get this? It's not that hard. Then I read a report by Microsoft, Creating a Culture of Digital Transformation. I'll put it in the link to the podcast at the end. It's well worth having a look at. And they cite Carol Dweck, and they cite her mindset theory. And this is from the late 90s that she wrote this. And for me, this started to change my kind of view on where I'd been going wrong and where I'd been going wrong in terms of understanding other people and why I'd been growing frustration. So I'm going to read now an excerpt from this in terms of what summarizes the mindset theory. So Carol Dweck is a world-renowned Stanford University psychologist. Her mindset theory identifies two distinct mindsets that impact individuals' approach to practice and learning within education and the workplace. One, you have the fixed mindset, where people believe basic qualities like intelligence and talent are fixed traits that cannot be developed or embellished. Those with fixed mindsets tend to display a resistance to taking on challenges that hold the risk of failure. Growth mindset, where people believe their basic abilities can be developed through dedication, good strategies, mentoring from others. A growth mindset leads to a love of learning and an active pursuit of new experiences to facilitate personal improvement. However, mindsets can be changed, learnt, and unlearnt over time, often with the help of certain environmental triggers. We'll focus on environmental triggers. This notion of mindset shift is important for organizations undergoing digital transformation. For example, creating a work environment that puts the emphasis on teamwork, challenge seeking, and learning can foster a more positive approach to changing colleagues who start out predominantly fixed. So, often with the help of certain environmental triggers. This is what we need to be thinking about. So I therefore understood more about myself. I felt very much of the growth mindset versus my former colleagues in management who maybe were more of the fixed mindset. And there's no right or wrong on this. There's no good or bad in terms of me one or the other. It's just the DNA and the psychological makeup of what makes us who we are. And that's a good thing. However, having understood this, I certainly would have changed my approach to all of this. But, hindsight is a fine thing. So for me, as I said, this is the nub of digital transformation. This is actually what we need to be focusing on. Technology is purely the enabler. Nothing more, nothing less. It's just a dumb instrument. And even AI is a dumb instrument until you actually give it data and you get it to run. Ultimately, it needs power or batteries to do that. But we've got to start with, why are we doing this? Do we need to do this? What are the outputs we're trying to achieve? Why are we trying to achieve this? Is this still the right thing to be doing? Is this management information still relevant today? It was relevant 20 years ago. Is it relevant today? Maybe it isn't. If as management you cannot answer some of these questions, and there are a myriad of others, especially the why, then how on earth are you going to bring the rest of your business along or create the environmental triggers in order to start that shift in thought process? The environmental triggers within which you are trying to do this. The old question, why are we doing this, boss? Why are we doing management? Well, we just are. If they say, why are we doing it? We just are. It's not going to fly. Think in your own life in terms of, especially if you've got children, when children ask why, and you just say, well, we are, they don't do it. And I've got two of them, and I'm now I'm learning this the hard way. And the other thing is, organizations get kind of sold the dream. We like shiny objects. We like the woo of technology or AI is going to help change, it's going to help revolutionize CRM, it's going to do this, it's going to do that, blah, 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 blah. But again, this is typically going to be input-led rather than output-led. And there'll be internal PR at a broad level. We're getting a new CRM system. We're going into social selling. We're going to do digital selling. We're doing this. We're doing that. We've got some new augmentation, whatever you want to call it, tool. But then it just becomes another piece of technology. You know, back to the parody from Zoolander, the two characters beating the computer with the keyboard to try and get the files out. You know, that's basically what we're going to do. And you know, from an individual perspective, growth set, mindset, but the actual user, you know, who's consulted me? Is this going to make my job easier? Well, okay, no one's talked to me about this, so I'm just going to carry on doing what I do. So for me, in terms of digital transformation and going back to Carol Dweck's piece around the environmental triggers, this is all about change management, which is not easy. You know, I spent 5 years in recruitment way back when, pre all of this, and people are unique. They're not robots who just do what you tell them to do. And not necessarily everyone's going to buy into the new vision, even if you articulate the why coherently backed up with empirical data. And this can lead to some hard decisions about whether you keep these people or they may even leave their own volition, which may be no bad thing if you're trying to shift or change the environment within which you are trying to work. You've got to have the right mindset and culture to affect any meaningful type of change. However, with a coherent message around the why, or without a coherent message around the why, I should say, this would all be for naught. And if we compare the search terms in Google again around Google Trends, around digital transformation and change management, we can see a problem. So if we look at change management globally from June 2004, same search terms, starts out early 2004 to 2008-ish, it then goes from 100, so peak, to where are we looking? So around 2008-ish to 2012-ish, then drops around 50, and now we're hovering, around 40 in terms of peak interest in terms of search terms. Versus obviously digital transformation, which has remained pretty flat for obvious reasons because none of this even existed back then, till around mid 16, early 16 possibly, to where it's now 100 peak. So we've got an inverse in terms of what's going on in terms of people searching for digital transformation, but not actually focusing or searching for change management, because that is what this is. You know, this is all about. So for me, I think we've got to take a step back from digital transformation and consider actually who is being impacted most in all of this. And it's your people. And it's your business. And why is this? Because the why and the how hasn't been articulated. But without your people, you will not have a business to digitally transform. So I go back to think about the environmental triggers. Think about the psychology of the organization. Think about what it is you're trying to do. And are you trying to fundamentally change the way your business operates? Are you trying to turn your people into a bunch of zeros and ones and ultimately robots or computer software? Or is it you're trying to just use technology as part of that enabler to help shift your organization into the 21st century to achieve the same outputs that you were 20 years ago, 30 years ago? There's just a different way of doing things where people are still key to this. The skill sets may well have changed, and technology is merely the enabler. I hope you enjoyed that podcast. As ever, if you've got any ideas or you want to get on and have a chat with me, do an interview, whatever it might be, please do get in touch. But for today, thank you very much for giving me your time and listening to my thoughts. And I hope you have a good rest of the day, whatever it is you are doing.